Buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy, because Kansas is going bye-bye.
You are listening to Radio Freak America.
You filthy criminals.
We got to give props right now, first thing, to Bland Inquisitor for that opening. That is, like, highly professional.
Yeah, that sounded like some work went into that.
Oh, very nice. Hell yeah. I've got somebody else sent me another one, and please forgive me, whoever did. It was too big to send to my Hotmail account, so I'll send you, and man, I feel terrible. I can't remember who it is. I'll send you my other email address, and you can send it there. So we've got some more intros to the show.
You can also have them uploaded to my incoming if you want. A couple people have been putting things there lately.
Oh, sweet. So go ahead and email StankDog and get it from there.
Yeah, just FTP to StankDog.com/incoming and upload.
Hell yeah. I want to open up with freak news. First thing, get it out of the way. First of all, Bell Canada unveils trial of wireless net access. Apparently they're taking you've seen banks of payphones. They're taking one of the payphones out, ripping it out, putting it in this big metal case with a WAP, power supply, all this crap, and giving away free 802.11. I think that's very nice.
Awesome. It gets away of. It's nice because now we have a public. Is it going to be we pay for it or is it free?
Right now it's free. I think they're going to plan to charge for it in March. You know, and believe me, I hate to see payphones go away because they're going to go away, unfortunately, and I'd hate to see that. They're so much fun. But to have one in a bank go away for free wireless access, I do like. I definitely like that. Yeah, this is in Canada, and I think I read that they are going to, eventually charge for it. I mean, why would they do it if they weren't going to charge for it? Next, I'm an AT&T customer. I do like AT&T. They have good service. I'm pretty pleased with the quality of my telecommunications from AT&T. But this is just a bunch of crap. This is the stupidest thing ever. They sent me, and get this. This is the back. It's kind of funny. They sent me a card. A card. Hallmark Business Expressions, this is on the back, an AT&T logo created especially for AT&T. This is the stupidest thing.
Aww.
Isn't that nice? You guys are going to get all warm.
It was just for you, man.
I know, man. I'm gonna cry. I'm going to break down there. Okay.
I'm sure 2,999,999 other people didn't get it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm special. Okay, control. Okay.
They really love you, I guess.
Oh, yeah, listen to this. You'll see how much they love me. Listen to this.
I want to hear it.
For your trust, for your loyalty, for your confidence, AT&T thanks you. Oh my gosh. I'm moved. As another year draws to a close, we'd like you to have the gift of 30 free domestic long-distance minutes for 1 month. I kind of dig that. There's a little asterisk. Let's see. Free minutes will be credited to your bill for domestic long-distance calls from home. The minutes must be used in the month the credit is on your bill. Unused minutes do not carry over to the next month. Best wishes for a happy, hopeful 2003, Lewis N. Deleary, Vice President, Long Distance Services, AT&T Consumer. Well, thank you very much, Lewis. Wow.
I'm getting verklempt.
That's the freak news. I want to get that out of the way. Actually, we kind of have some other It's sort of related. I kind of think that ham radio RF's kind of in the freak realm. It kind of crosses over. And I think you had something quick to talk about. Was that right?
Yep. Yeah, I just, last night...
I'm sorry. This is Mute.
Yep. Oh.
I am Duel. And, of course, the ultimate stank dog.
Of course I have to be here. You know, I mean, I'm just stapled to the wall at Duel's house. He just takes me down and, you know, I start crying.
Hell yeah. Shake him out. Put him on the show.
Yep. So this is what's up. Last night I had a ham radio meeting. And there was a one-year kind of anniversary of me starting to go to those. And what happens? I get elected to be net director.
Hey, congratulations.
But you're asking yourself for now, what the fuck is a net director? Net director runs a roundtable discussion on the repeater that the person uses. They don't necessarily run it every time. Every time it's every Tuesday at mine. But they delegate, basically. So you can say, all right, I want to run it this time around and so on and so forth. But during these, there's some time to talk. I think it starts like 7 or 8 around here. I'm not even clear on that. Then the person that's controlling it for the night can put the DTMF over and do a thing, auto-patch. Auto-patch is basically the link between the repeater and the phone line. You call that up. You call up there's two numbers you call. You call Skywarn, which is kind of like a weather service type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's basically ham radio news. And one time I was listening to it, I guess they reinstated some guy that was arrested, and then his license was revoked, and they got it back, so which is kind of interesting. They do some, not just really bland stuff, but like real stories about people, so it's kind of cool. And that's just fun stuff. And the other cool thing that happened was last night, since it's like the last meeting of the year, they also did a kind of like a mini eBay, if you will. They had everyone brought stuff, or that wanted to basically get rid of it, just all the money would be donated to the club. There was antennas, there was DSP boxes, so you can filter out all the crap. There was, like, one guy didn't bring it, but he was going to auction off a satellite system where you could basically point the antenna at the satellite directionally and talk to the satellites, all types of stuff.
Nice.
I picked up, and Duel, you might have been researching this, a TNC.
Yes.
Terminal node controller for $10.
No way.
$10. $10. This is what a TNC does. You hook it up to a computer, or you can run it by itself. I don't know. I gotta get totally clear on that. But basically, you can make a packet node, which you send something out. It's like kind of like a news group, basically.
It's packet radio.
Up all the packet nodes. There's also a bunch of stuff, but you can run bulletin boards off of them. And the cool thing, right now it's called APRS, which broadcasts your GPS signal out, which is kind of cool. If it's like, so you want to find someone, you can see on your screen, you can see you by through either the internet or through a laptop hooked up to your box, you can see people on the screen. So you can see a little car driving around, and you can see who's there. And it's been very useful, because I guess one time someone got their car jacked, and the guy didn't realize, I mean, he probably looked for LoJack, but he didn't look for APRS. So within like an hour, they had the guy, they had him parked at a corner, they pulled him over, they got him.
Nice.
So that's how cool this stuff is.
That is off the fahizi.
That is cool. That is definitely off the chain.
Hell yeah. That is very cool. Hey man, congratulations on being the net director.
Yes, thank you. Cool stuff.
That is very cool. That is the freak news this evening. That's it. You know what? I've got to do something. I had a little install fest this weekend, and this is... Hold on. Okay, you know, I got to say that SUSE 8 is probably one of the best distros I've ever used. I've used quite a few. That one is just solid. SUSE 8.1, on the other hand, is total crap, but SUSE 8 is great. I mean, it's solid from a P2 on. It's awesome. You guys just talk. I'm going to install SUSE 8 on a P2 laptop right now, no X, right now, as we're doing it, on the show. I don't know if this has ever been done before, but here's this.
Why do you say that 8.1 is no good? What was
it? I don't know. It is the biggest piece of crap. It's just nothing works. It would just break. It would just stop working. It was just horrible. So 8.0 though is solid. Everything works. It's just a great distribution. You know, it can be very user friendly. You know, for a beginner, but then it can also be very powerful. It's just, I can't say enough about it. I have a P2 laptop here, and I've run SUSE 8 on it before. I put a OS on it every other week, probably. I've had 7.3 on it, and it wasn't stable. In fact, it would panic like first thing. But I put 8.0 on it, and it just works beautifully. I run WindowMaker. Now I'm going to install it. No X. Hold on. Okay, putting it in. Control-Alt-Delete. Come on now. All right. There we go. So it's booting up right now from the disk. So I'm going to, while we do the show, I'm going to install SUSE 8 as we speak because I love it so much. I've got some actual important stuff to talk about. Actually, some really moving email, and this email is prose. You know, it's almost beyond email. It is like prose. The first is from Dropcode, and he's from Outbreak Zine, right? Outbreak Magazine.
I'm looking forward to their next one coming up. They fell a little bit behind because of issue 11, but so they're kind of he's really double timing it to get this next issue out on time. So anybody out there that's got something they want to send in, by all means, hook up with that.
Yeah, outbreakzine.tk, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, actually, Dropcode is also working on something called, is it Outbreak Radio or Dropcode? I forgot what it is. I
think they're just still kicking around titles right now.
Well, I hope they get that. I hope they get that going. Actually, since we've been talking about alternative media, I've been getting a lot of emails, and thank you, everybody, sending me links for underground internet alternative radio shows, and it's great. There's anime shows. There's gaming shows. They're all over the place. Maybe I'll collect all these links and put them up on the site. There is good stuff out there. You do not have to listen to Clear Channel all the time. And this Outbreak Zine is just another great addition. So actually, there's another show that's like a real FM show, if I'm correct, Stank.
Which one? That was
Who? What's that? Is it Volsung?
Well, Volsung. I don't want to mispronounce it. Volsung, I guess, is pretty straightforward. But this is a guy I'd met back on the HackerMind forums. He showed up and was, kind of mentioned his site to see if anybody would be interested. But he, I guess, they were in the very infancy of that, and they're doing, a real over-the-air show as opposed to an internet show. So it's a little bit trickier with the machinery. They're still kind of in the analog world from what I understood. So they had a lot of problems taping the shows and getting the volumes and the levels right. A lot of the stuff that we take for granted here,
sure.
He was having some problems with that. And then I guess he got into problems with the content of the show. So it was kind of short-lived, but he has resurfaced and he's talking about trying to get that going again. So, if he needs anything, he knows how to get in touch with me. He's been on the boards lately, so, we can all help him out as much as we can.
Yeah.
Participate in that once he gets it going. Unfortunately, I'm not in Cincinnati, so I can't be there to help him out like that. But
Yeah, I can't wait till I think I read that he has some archives up, so I can't wait to get a chance and check those out. And definitely, if you need any help, Volsung, let us know. And these emails that I'm going to read, not only are they moving, not only are they prose, but they're going to segue into another piece of media that I want to talk about. Again, first, this one is from Dropcode. Hey, Duel, name's Dropcode, member of the Outbreak Zine staff. Big fan of RFA. Thank you very much. You probably get this all the time, but as a fellow contributor to alternative media sources in this scene, I know how nice it is to be reminded sometimes that what you're doing is really worthwhile. Every Wednesday night for the last few weeks, I've been locking myself in my computer room and listening to the stream with a big bowl of nachos and cheese. Hackers, freaks, neophytes, gurus, all kinds of scenesters from all around put everything on hold for an hour each week to listen to RFA. Never forget that what you do is really important to a lot of people. RFA brings to the underground scene an information source with a professional, organized feel. I think that's really important because it reminds us, or at least me, that the things we do as hackers aren't completely shady. The cast and contributors remind us that hackers are just everyday people, not nerds or cyber stalkers or terrorists. You make us proud. Mary Chan makes us swoon. RFA makes us all happy. Keep up the excellent work, Dropcode. Thank you for the excellent email, Dropcode.
Yes, sincerely, that
no doubt. That means a lot to me.
That occasionally really does mean a lot. It's somebody, we've said it before, people get it sometimes.
Yeah.
And it really feels good to know that somebody is actually getting it.
Yeah, and they're contributing to the community immensely. That issue 11, by the way, of Outbreak Zine was huge. It was huge.
It was cool, right?
So, yeah, it was very cool. I'm dying for 12. I'm hoping to submit something. Hopefully, keep my fingers crossed it'll get published. But we've got another one from the same guy who did the intro that is going to be on every show. I mean, that's professional quality stuff. That's like beyond anything I've ever even thought of. This is from Bland Inquisitor. And this one's a little long, but man, is it worth it. It is so worth it. Believe me, and it'll segue perfectly to what we're going to talk about. Duel. First of all, I have to tell you that I love the show. I was in the scene in the early 90s. I was lucky enough to befriend the sysop of my local ISP, and he took me under his wing and pointed me in the right direction. In the many hours I spent in his shop or at home watching the sun set and rise in the same chair reading the ORC files, trying to figure out exactly what the fuck a Wad Katonic was, to the very first time I read The Mentor, I have to say I learned way more than I did at the same time in high school. It was a wonderful time in my life when I discovered that there were plenty more people like me out there. People who would rather find information and educate themselves, and who would also tell people where to find information for themselves. One thing that I have always admired about the community is that a straight answer to a question usually involves a book or text that shows the complete scope of the information, rather than just the pre-chewed trivia we are taught in schools. I'm reliving my childhood in front of you to say this. This is the same feeling I get when I listen to RFA, and that is the feeling I got when Stank Dog invited me into the DDP. It is so wonderful to know that there are people like you and Stank Dog out there who are spreading information in a positive way. For me, the term hacker is an active search. To me, calling myself a hacker implies that I am always learning, reading, listening, spending way too much money on books, and offering what relatively little information I have picked up along my path to whoever will hear me. That's the feeling I get from you and from everyone on the boards. I've heard you say I'm learning every day about 100 times, and I've never heard you say I'm a fucking Uber. Because people like us know that we will never be complete in our learning. We know that hacker is a path that we walk, not a destination or designation. I think that's why it's so hard for the media and even our own community to come up with a solid definition of hacker. There are as many different definitions of the term as there are people who walk the path. Some do some shit and end up in the pokey. Some like to code. Some like to just take it all, take in all the information. And some just do it for the chicks. That's a little props to Rax right there. I miss Rax, by the way. I've been guilty of judging other people. I've said things like, man, my local 2600 group isn't worth a shit. But the truth is, none of us are able to pass judgment on people who take their own paths. All we can do is follow our own path and be lucky enough to find the people who walk a similar path so we can all grow together. I didn't intend for this to be as long as it was, but once I started typing, the words escaped my fingers before I could stop them. The other reason I emailed you is to tell you that I have placed a submission for RFA Intro, which is awesome, by the way, thank you,
yes,
in the Stank Dog's incoming FTP folder. It's, let me see. And then he talks about this awesome intro he sent. And he ends it. I know this will involve giving you my... No, that's not it. And just show me love. And to show my love and support for RFA and everything you do, Bland. That email was...
That's cool.
That blew me away.
You know, I like to associate with people like that. You know, it doesn't get any better than that.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, that's very classy for one thing. He's very enlightened. Him and Dropcode are obviously enlightened. And this, what Bland wrote could be, another Hacker's Manifesto. It really could.
That was pretty deep stuff.
It is. He said it so well. So thank you very much, Bland. Thanks for the intro and thanks for the email. I really appreciate it. What they talk about, of course, is what a hacker is, what a hacker isn't. There's actually a piece of media that's going to be on what channel? What station?
TLC.
It's going to be Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Which is right after when this show ends, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And what's it called?
What is it, Mute? I forgot the full title.
I'll bring it up right now.
I think it was called something like Hackers, Outlaws, and Angels.
Yeah, I think that's what I read.
We're going to wait and see. Hopefully what it's going to be is they're going to show that, I guess the media, we always complain about the media portrays us and the media makes us all to be hackers and terrorists and bad guys and hacking is all about black, 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 black. Well, no, some of us are just about hacking. Hacking doesn't have to be about damaging, terrorism, breaking, and stuff like that. So hopefully from the intro to this, the commercials and the title, they're going to show both sides of the ticket and show that there are people like us who exist.
Yeah, the title is great, and exactly because I didn't see the ad for it, but I see the what CXI wrote. It's kind of cool because they say, oh, and he's making us all scary. And then they have TLC's transmission hacked, and then they kind of go into what it really is, what their show is really going to be about. So,
no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, that's good news. Let's hope it's positive. Or let's just hope it, like Drop Code and Bland, is enlightened. Let's hope it's an enlightened piece of production.
You know, TLC is good television top to bottom. You know,
it is.
I love to watch it. They're usually pretty accurate on their stuff. So this is really, you know, this is going to be really interesting to see if they disappoint me or if they come through again.
Yeah, if somebody wants to tape it and rip it or something, I'd feel free. I don't have the all the... I've got cable internet, and I get the basic channels that you have to get with it, much like, you know, getting a phone line with DSL. But I don't watch... Honestly, I don't watch TV. I never even would have heard of this without the Stank message boards. And, of course, that is at stankdog.com, the forums. Very good forums. We've had a lot of new people join. So
lots of old people coming back, lots of new people joining.
Yeah, this is great. It's good stuff.
Well.
And take the time. Yeah, if you go to the forums, take the time to read the past posts because there's a lot of good information in there. Actually, I went through just before the show. I came home, you know, got my bowl of peanut butter crunch, and I took the time to read through the retail hacking forums, you know, just to refresh myself and see how much fun all that was. So take the time and read those old posts. Somebody mentioned CXI.
Yeah, I did.
I heard. Okay, yeah, well, I got to thank him for two awesome, awesome privacy articles. I don't know if you guys have read them. I did, and they were great, especially the one about privacy policies. That is just a great article. And they are the first two for the new privacy section at oldschoolfreak.com. You go to the text files page. We now have a privacy section. Two great articles by CXI already there. I'm hoping I've got the ideas for another one, you know, Hacker's Guide to Protecting Privacy from the RFA crew, you know, from everybody in the community. I've got ideas. I want to get it down on paper. Hopefully that'll be coming soon. Good stuff on the Old School Freak text files page. He's a very good writer, CXI. Mary Chan also sent me an article about her DSL adventures. That'll be coming up soon. So the first writing from Mary Chan, it's actually really funny, by the way. I just started reading it. It's hilarious. So it'll be a really, really good read. People probably are wondering, last week, Mute and I and Mary Chan kind of talked about a special guest. Well, unfortunately, it didn't come through. I don't know what happened. I haven't really heard from the guest. Hopefully everything's okay. I'm assuming it is. So it didn't come through. So hopefully in the future we can have this special guest on. And like I said, I just hope everything's okay. I mean, something, you know, very important might have come up. An emergency might have come up. Who knows? So.
Well, Mute is always my special guest.
Mm.
He makes every show special that I listen to. I love you,
Mute. The most special. Mute makes me feel like an AT&T greeting card.
Well, you know what? Speaking of feelings, wait a minute. Can I mention this real quick?
Oh, please do.
You so totally blew me away with the intro to last show. Dude,
that was so awesome. That was awesome.
I so totally did not see that coming, and I literally, and I'm not making this up, I was literally in tears laughing when I heard, because I didn't know it was coming. It surprised me.
You got to be kidding me. How can you not think that I would have used that? That was so good. If anybody didn't listen to last week's show, episode 40.
Yeah, I did it half-heartedly, kind of, not as a joke, but I just decided I wanted to read it, you know, read it the way I heard it in my mind and felt, and Mute told me it was the Redneck Hacker Manifesto, so we had a good laugh over that anyway, so we kind of treated it. It wasn't really I wasn't really expecting anybody to ever use it. So when you played it, I was in tears laughing. I think I was online chatting with Bland Inquisitor and some other people, and I couldn't type. I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard.
It was good. It was really good. Yeah, you ported the conscience of a hacker to Redneck. We've got another treat next week. We're not going to play it this week, but next week, well, maybe we can. We'll see. Maybe at the end of the show I can. I don't know yet. We have another piece, actually, from Bland Inquisitor. Very similar to what you did, but it's similar but different. It's very good. So if I'm playing,
yeah, his actually took skill and talent.
Yeah, no doubt, big time talent. So,
and I was just talking.
That takes talent. That was very good. Did you do that in one shot, by the way?
Yes, I did. Except that that stupid. I used one of those. What do they call it? Timed, you know, crippled shareware demos to do it.
Uh-huh.
It kept cutting off after 60 seconds. So 60 seconds, I'd have to stop and re-record from the end of the previous clip. So every once in a while, I'd have to take a breath and redo it again. I'd look up, and I'm talking away, and the thing has stopped recording, and that was annoying as hell.
Yeah, that sounds like pretty rough, actually. That definitely sounds rough. Okay. Again, no special guests. I'm very sorry. We're hoping to get that guest on eventually. Hoping to get Zapper on eventually. Stank, you went to, what was it called? iTech?
Yeah, I went, I posted that to the board that I was going ahead of time, and of course, you know, unless you're in the area, it's not something you can go to real easily, but it's called the iTech Conference, I-T-E-C, which stands for Internet Technology East Coast. So I don't know if they have a West Coast version, I don't know if it's like a whole gang thing, but anyway, in the East Coast version, it was basically, it's pretty much a vendor show. Where the majority of the topics were about security and, I don't know, I mean, it covers a lot of things, but most of the presentations are on security and infrastructure and some pretty technical stuff. So I went to that. I didn't make it last year, but I've been every other year before that. I went this year, and the reason that I really drove me out there is every year they have a keynote speaker, and this year was a couple other times in the past also, but this year was the FBI's InfraGuard, which is an organization within the FBI whose duty it is, or whose job it is to work with businesses, work with small businesses, large businesses, to kind of work with them to enhance security and to watch out for trouble, denial of service tax get reported to them, things like that. So I wanted to go and see, you know, what they were going to say, how they were going to portray evil hackers, blah, 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 because we know we're not really friendly with the FBI when it comes to our hobby.
No.
So I went there, and I went in there, you know, I was dressed in my business uniform, or however you want to call it. I was in my normal clothes. I didn't walk in with my 2600 shirt blazing. I didn't go in, you know, looking. I went in, professional, and I took my camera with me. I thought maybe this will make a good segment. It started off real bad. Started off on a bad note, because when I sat down, the guy was preparing, I asked if he'd mind if I taped it. He didn't seem to care for that too much.
Really? What happened?
Well, he was very, very polite, but he just said, the one of the guys that was there was like part of the show promoters or whatever, and he's like, yeah, hey, put me on camera, I'm a ham, I'll do whatever you want. And he says, how about you, do you mind? And he asked what turned out to be the FBI agent who was giving the presentation, and he just said, well, he said, we don't usually really tape these things, so we don't like to put this, you know, we don't like to have people videotaping it, but, you know, and so since he was pretty polite about it, I said, okay, well, I'll just put it down. So I put it down, and I didn't, you know, I wanted to see the presentation, and that's caused me trouble. So when he went into his presentation, which was typical PowerPoint BS, it was surprisingly accurate. I was expecting him to say how this is how you got to lock down your system, and hackers are going to come in and steal your credit cards, and hackers are going to come in and crash your system, and hackers are going to do that. And he did not do that at all. He didn't, and it surprised me to death. Not only didn't he do it, but he actually went out of his way to explain the difference. Now, he didn't use the term white hat and black hat. I guess it's gotten kind of cliche now. But he differentiated between what hackers are and what hackers aren't. He said that, a couple of the things he said, like he explained to people that disgruntled employees, as everybody knows, is one of the big people that causes problems. They get pissed that they lost their job, and before they leave, they'll go deleting files and stuff like that.
Sure.
That's not a hacker. It's not a hacker at all. There's no connection whatsoever.
Shit, regular happy employees cause a lot of trouble.
Exactly, inadvertently. So he said that.
Wow.
For me to say that, for you to say, you know, of course we're going to say that, but he said that. He said that that's not, you know, it's not always about somebody hacking into your system. It's not always about hackers doing this and hackers doing that. He said, you know, you got a lot of things from disgruntled employees. You got a lot of, he even said what you did, that a lot of it is mistakes by employees who didn't know what they were doing. He even said that. But he also went on to explain, he brought up a list of some things, and on the list were terrorists. On the list was, what else do you say, money launderers, mafia, things like that.
Right.
Nowhere on the list was the word hacker.
Really?
Well, he separated that. He did not put us in and lump us with that kind of thing. And he, in his presentation, he said, you know, terrorists are using the computers and using internet to do this. Now, the facts that he made were pretty standard stuff. You know, okay, yeah, the Al-Qaeda uses the internet to pass secret messages and blah, 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 blah. You know, we all know that. But usually they try to make the connection that it's hackers, our Al-Qaeda, our hackers, our blah, 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 whatever. He didn't do that at all, and that just really, really impressed me. So I can't believe I'm going to say it, but I got to give a little bit of props to the FBI for getting it right once. Once out of a million times, they got it right. Maybe it's the start of a trend.
No doubt. Now, I heard from a friend. Let's hope it's the start of a trend, by the way, and thank you very much for that information. I'm sorry you didn't get to tape it. That would have been nice.
Yeah, I did take some still pics, and I'm going to put them up on the site soon.
Ooh.
I took some pics of it afterwards and some of the other stuff just in case anybody wanted to see some of the booths and things like that. But, yeah, they didn't let me tape it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'd love to see those. I'd love to see pics. I heard from, I guess this would be secondhand, from a friend who went to a presentation similar, an FBI agent speaking to a group of people, and he was told, my friend who told me, that the FBI is actually, how do I say this? Not actively looking, but recreational hackers are looked at by the FBI. I didn't like the sound of that. There should be nothing wrong at all with recreational hacking, I would say. I guess you can go into defining recreational hacking, but, you know, that was a little disconcerting. This is much more, much, much more positive, obviously.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like you got to make the decision of, do you think that they're still of the old mindset and this guy was an exception, or do you think they are turning to this new wave and they are starting finally getting their heads out of their asses and understanding that, you know, what it's truly about and what it truly means?
Right.
Well, I hope it's the latter.
Yeah, me too, and I guess only time will tell.
As in all things.
Yeah, no doubt.
Then you also have this report. I don't know if you wanted to mention this, but it just pissed me off so much.
Please do.
About the photographer in Denver.
Yeah, Mr. McGinnis, I believe, is his name.
That's just, you know, that's shameful.
That's wrong.
Shameful.
Yeah, that was really, really upsetting. I'm sure everyone, at least who listens to this show, has been to 2600 site and looked at their post, read their post. They make great, great points. Great arguments. Actually, they don't have to make an argument, you know, and you'll see that when you read it. Yeah, not being able to take pictures, you know, I could see where they would be so uptight and so upset, but to treat somebody like that, you know, maybe, I don't know. There's got to be a balance somewhere. There has to be a balance. You cannot treat people like this, especially with the idiocy going on, this idiotic bullshit rhetoric with Iraq. Okay, sorry, I'm not gonna rant here. But yeah, that was a horrible, horrible story. We've got an FBI building downtown here where I live, and I bet you I would get the same, anybody would get the same kind of treatment if they went and took pictures of this building. You know, after 9/11, streets have been blocked off with, you know, concrete barriers. You know, the black cars are still there, but the streets are blocked off. There are now security guards constantly on the sidewalk. I just can't imagine what would happen if somebody was to go down there and take pictures like this Mr. McGinnis did.
Well, I think 2600 had the best idea. Emmanuel said, you know, what would happen if everybody got together and all went down at the same time and started taking pictures when they knew that somebody was going to be there, they knew that something was going on. You know, what are they going to do?
Well, what are they going to do? It's called crowd control. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
I guarantee you they would control, especially somebody as important as the vice president. It would be controlled. The people would be controlled. You know what? Everybody in the community who helps us, who downloads the show, who listens to Rant Radio, do not be controlled. Don't go get in trouble, but do not be controlled. Do something to control the future of this country, of your rights. You must do something.
And it can be as simple as just making your voice heard.
Yeah, as making an internet radio show.
There you go.
Yeah.
Stand up and be heard.
Yeah, you know, if...
Vote, make decisions based on educated knowledge, and you'll, you know, as a group, we can change the world.
Yeah.
And we need to change the world.
Yeah, no doubt, because of things like this, like what's happening to Mr. McGinnis. I'm sure you guys have also been reading about, and golly, I know I'll butcher his name. Is it John Johansson? Is that how you pronounce it? DCSS? I read the amateur. It was actually fairly amusing. It was really entertaining. I got the link off Slashdot. It was an amateur write up about the first day of the trial. It was pretty entertaining. From what I read, that Johansson is standing up. You know, he is innocent as he is innocent. I mean, that's silliness. That's the MPAA controlling another country, for crying out loud. You know, I almost hate the fact, like The Matrix, and I love this because it's such a good movie. I get such enjoyment out of it, out of somebody else's creativity. But I hate to think that I'm giving my money to these people, you know? What do you do? I do enjoy movies, good movies.
For God's sake, don't get caught bootlegging anything off peer-to-peer because they'll come break your fucking door down.
Oh, no doubt. And I don't. That's another thing. It's like I'm almost upset because I don't do that. I don't even pirate music. All the music I play in the show, CDs I own.
Or public domain stuff. You can go to mp3.com and you'll find a lot of good music.
Exactly. Hardwire, for instance. On the earlier shows, I played a lot of Hardwire. It's freely available. You know, all the as far as I know, most of, if not all of, the bands on Rant Radio said, yeah, play our music. This is more exposure, right? You know? I don't know.
Another interesting thing that I noticed is the collaborations between some of these musicians. You got people that are sampling each other's music, and they're like freely, they work together, you know? They work together willingly. They're not forced together. They're not doing a soundtrack, and the stupid recording industry or the record companies decide that Busta Rhymes and Britney Spears would be a hot selling album, you know, a hot selling track on a song. These are people who get together because they love the music, because they enjoy the music.
Exactly. All right, I think let's give the listeners, let's give everybody, pardon me, a little bit of technology. Let me look and see how far along I am on my install here. Let's see here. Your computer doesn't fulfill anything to allow graphical. I don't want graphical installation. Fallback to. Okay. It's just telling me there's going to be no X. Well, I don't want X, so okay. I'll hit enter. Okay, it's installing. Yeah, I kind of like it with no X. Actually, here's what I've been doing. I've been playing with wireless on SUSE. There's actually a client manager I was trying out, seeing if it was good for ghetto driving. Ghetto driving being not using fancy hardware antennas, GPS, you know, maybe even looking up points and going and checking them out. That's ghetto driving. You know, just buying an adapter, using the client software that comes with it and driving around, that's ghetto driving. So I was trying this new client package for KDE, actually, called K-Wi-Fi Manager. It's for KDE 3 only. There's one for KDE 2 only. I think it's called K or Anoko or something like that. But I tried out K-Wi-Fi Manager, and it works well. You boot up next to a point, it works great. Configuration, you got quality statistics. Nice app. Looks good. It doesn't work well for ghetto driving, though. It doesn't reassociate, and maybe that's the card, you know, not being hop or stuff. You know, some client packages work really well, like cheap D-Link USB adapters. They work great for ghetto driving. What's it called? ARU, the client package that comes with Cisco cards for Linux, works great, really, really well for ghetto driving. That's a great card, by the way. So, K-Wi-Fi Manager, good client app if you need one for KDE, but not good for ghetto driving. I got another thing here. This is actually an article I got off Security News Portal. I don't know if you guys read that site. I do. I almost make it a daily read. You guys ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, security, they got good stuff. The guy does some funny stuff, you know. I think he's kind of wacko with that talking hamster, but here we go. 6 basic tips for securing wireless networks. Let's see what they say here. I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but I'm going to read these 6 steps. I love wireless, as you know. Let's see. 1, plan antenna placement. Well, that does make sense. Actually, I'd do a little ghetto driving. And I drive by this one place where I know there's a WAP, right? I know there's a wireless access point, but they set it up so well that even out in the parking lot, there's no transmission. It's really great. They have done a great job with antenna placement and also power, right? You turn the power down, you're not transmitting enough. They did a great job. So plan antenna placement. Use WEP. We've talked about WEP ad nauseum. It's only delay. WEP is only delay.
But it is better than nothing.
It is. Exactly. It's better than nothing. That's right. Three, change the SSID and disable its broadcast. That's simple enough to do. It doesn't do anything against WarDrivers, but, you know, I guess you can give it a shot. Disable DHCP. There's another WAP I'm familiar with that I found while ghetto driving. And they have DHCP disabled. So you got to figure out what they're doing, and if you wanted to get on, you'd have to figure out what they were doing, what their IP address scheme was, find a way to get your own IP.
Which, again, is just a, you know, a speed bump, just a slowdown.
Exactly. All of these are. I mean, really, it's... Yeah. You know, that's why I think they're rolling out, you know, big companies are rolling out this free Wi-Fi and stuff and being a little more liberal with it. That's because, you know, they don't know quite how to secure it totally yet, you know.
And they gave up.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, eventually, that's what they're putting out. They're going to learn from it. They're going to learn how to charge for it and charge securely. Let's see. Did I already read disable DHCP? Yes, I did. Five, disable or modify SNAP settings. Right, so you can go into a WAP and change stuff around. And six, use access lists. Of course, maybe based on MAC address, I don't know. Those are the six steps. And where did this come from? That's kind of important. This came from Scott Lowe for the Tech Republic. You've ever heard of Tech Republic?
No, I haven't think I've heard of that.
No, me neither. So six basic steps for securing wireless networks from the Tech Republic. Have you guys now... I think somebody on the phone here has been messing around with wireless. Do you want to talk about that? you don't have to.
Speaking of...
If it was you.
Speaking of placement, the antenna placement planning, I went the opposite route. I intentionally put my antenna as close to my front window as I could.
Awesome.
Because I have a couple neighbors that are also being bled to death by this fucking phone company, pardon my language, but them in case I can't get that out enough. They're all paying the $50 a month for DSL also, so I'm going to put it out there, and I've gotten mine working internally here. We won't mention the brand name because that would be, well, fodder for me to get roasted, but...
Who cares? My server is...
Right?
And I'll say it again.
Microsoft, how about that?
Yeah, that's fine, Microsoft, that's right, good. You came out, I like that. Hey, like, again...
Let's be honest with the reason. It was cheap. It was $59 at Best Buy after rebates.
Very cheap.
Get it, dude. I'm going for it.
It's very cheap. Okay, go ahead.
I set up easily, so. But yeah, so I got it working inside right now. Unfortunately, my DSL modem is an external USB, and this thing is really designed for Ethernet, and most of them are actually, I find now. So I'm in the process of trying to dig up somebody. If anybody out there has got a DSL modem that's Ethernet accessible that I can plug into a card in the back and share it out, it'd be a lot easier. So I'm kind of scouring through eBay and trying to look around and see if I can't dig one of those up.
Yeah, if I run into one, dude, I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know. And once I do, then we go up to the neighbors and we try to hook them in, and then instead of $150 a month, we all split a $50 bill.
Nice, very nice.
No, you can't beat that.
What kind of bandwidth are you getting on your DSL?
I'm getting fat. I'm getting like 1.2, 1.3.
Wow.
Clear, especially late at night, I get a consistently strong signal when it's up.
Oh, really?
It drops.
Does that laugh? Does somebody else have cable? I'm a cable user personally.
I got cable.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I got. But nights, sometimes it's really late. I get like 1.6 off of DSL reports.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's okay. It's fast for me. Fast enough for me.
Yeah. Well, I like I said, I upgraded my package, and again. The oldschoolfreak.rootsecure.net server, the archive server, the Old School Freak archives are on a Windows box. I'm not ashamed.
Well, it's easy and quick to get that stuff up and going.
Yeah, dude, I did it in like, you know, hours, you know. It took me longer to archive everything, you know, to get it over the network and then write up the HTML in Notepad, you know. By the way, if I may,
it's
take
all
this.
Going there.
What's that?
Speaking of that, how's the install going there? Keep us up to date here.
Oh, the install. Enter. I'm sorry, I've been engrossed in the show here. Hold on. Enter the root password. My root password is...
R00T.
uh, I got to re-enter it. Hold on.
Don't type it too loud. Nick will figure out a way to listen to the keystroke.
No doubt. Nick or mute somebody. That's, oh, I could tell. Okay, let me go on here next. It's configured, of course, since I'm not using X, it's doing everything with, using end curses, you know, the Yast end curses. Okay, now it wants my user. Of course, I'd never enter the real names. I always use X, man. X. Screw that. I'm not giving you my name, even though it's my own box. Login. Password. Oh! I'm kind of like typing across myself. This is not ergonomic, by the way, to install Linux and do a radio show. That's not ergonomic. Okay.
I had the first Linux distribution I got was SUS. I think it was 6.1, 6.2, somewhere in the sixes.
Uh-huh.
Dude, it blew me away. It was just being a total newbie to it. It blew me out of the water.
It's nice, huh?
No, I got it installed finally with help from a million different people, but boy, it blew me out of the water. So this last time, I went with the most standard, easiest looking, and that was Red Hat, and been okay with it now. So now that I'm a little bit more comfortable with it, maybe it's time for me to go back to SUSE again on your recommendation.
Yeah, and if you can, go with 8.0, and if you can, of course, professional. But for $40 for the personal version, you can't beat it. You just can't. It's cheaper in Red Hat. It's cheaper in Mandrake. And by the way, BIOS pimps Mandrake big time, so I'm sure it's a good distro. I use Red Hat all day at work. So I for one reason, I want something different, you know, just something different to play around with. And two, I've only been using 6.3 maybe, I don't remember, but I've been using SUSE for quite a while. What's that?
Nothing.
Oh,
I'm just screaming.
Are you screaming at your? Anyways,
yeah.
So that's one reason I wanted something different, and I've just always been pleased with it. Like I said, it can be very simple for the beginning user, and then it can also be very, very powerful. It includes a lot of solid apps. 8.0 if you can get it. Skip 8.1. You know, if you have to, yeah, but really, skip it. I don't know what the deal was. They wanted to be one number ahead of Red Hat. I don't know. My experience with 8.1 is piece of crap. Big piece of crap.
And all the distros are, some of them are shit, some of them are really good.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, don't rule out going, like dropping 40 bones for the CDs and stuff. Go to linuxiso.org and burn them if you got the bandwidth.
Oh yeah, no doubt. If you got cable, you got DSL, do it. You know, I've got friends with servers and they have lots of distros on their servers, so I get it from them. You know,
yeah.
I actually like to support, you know, a distro that I enjoy. I really do enjoy. So, holy moly, damn, the show is like almost over, guys.
Ready?
Yeah, unbelievably, it goes fast. Well, plus that show comes up when? Like, how long?
I got it in
15 minutes.
Okay, cool. So maybe 10 minutes tops. I got a couple of examples we've talked about on this show. First of all, we read those moving emails, and they really were.
Thanks for those, by the way, in case
yeah.
you say that.
And keep them up, man. Send in emails, send in suggestions, send in your intros. You know, we want this to be everybody's show, honestly. I mean, that sounds corny. You know, I'm not patronizing anybody. I really want this to be something for the community, you know? If you got some good information you want people to know about, like, hey, I just figured this out, or I did this, send it to us, man. I'll read it over the air. That is what it's about. I've got some examples here about what, you know, we've had ample examples of what hackers are tonight. Now I want to give, how many do I have here? One, two hackers about, two, examples about what a hacker is not. The first, here, I want to do this one first. This is great. This guy, you probably heard about it in the past, but I guess just recently he pled guilty in his case, right? He's being tried. Let's see, hacker/anarchist Dr. Chaos. This is the guy. Where was it? Wisconsin. Was it in Chicago?
Yes. Oh, man.
You know. Okay, you know.
Oh, man. Hey, nice segue to my hood.
Do you know this guy?
All right, this is what's up with that guy.
All right, first up, I don't think he's a hacker. You're messing with cyanide. You're vandalizing shit. That ain't hacking, dude.
This is what's up with it. Last, I guess, I think a couple years ago, before I started going, the meetings were at another place called Screens. It's like basically an internet cafe. So many people started showing up, the people at Screens got pissed. So they're basically like, you're going to start giving us money. So we moved to Union Station, train station down in Chicago right now. Somewhere, either at Screens, I think it was at Screens, this guy, Kanopka, showed up to a meeting once, or a couple times, talking about people, about steam tunnels and all this crap.
Joseph Kanopka.
Showed up, talked, that's what I hear. And later, and then, I guess it was last April, or just before, so a month before that, he started talking, and then they got a deposition or something. He mentioned 2600, and this was threatening about steam tunnels and Amtrak, so this is very important stuff. So in the April meeting, which I wasn't at because I was actually on break in Florida, they said, well, the guys, like, five FBI agents approached the six or seven guys that were there, said they were FBI agents, told them what was up, we're just one here, coming here for information on Joseph Kanopka. Everyone gave names. No one really said anything because they didn't know anything.
Right.
And the guys left. Little did I, and then after the story goes on to say that, well, the rest of us, I guess the guys that were there left, actually went to the second spot we go to, which is a little bigger and a little more, actually smaller because you can hear everyone then. And then as more people triggered in, heard what happened. So that was very interesting.
That is very interesting. And here, you know, and I don't know why, I don't know who called him a hacker or why he was called a hacker, and in this article was this from the United Press. Here at the end it says, searchers wearing protective hazardous material suits also recovered burglary tools, flashlights, drawings of the subway system, a GPS device, and a stolen laptop computer.
Going off into not totally sure story, but I guess it was a tough book.
Really? As in a police?
Yes, and it was taken from either, I don't know if it's police, but it was taken from the back, or, no, I'm going to get mail for this, but I guess it was taken out of the back of an Ameritech truck.
Oh, no shit. So he...
That's what I heard.
So he went trucking.
Yeah, he went trucking.
Yeah, okay. Well, after these sarin gas attacks in Japan, I wouldn't be hiding cyanide in train tunnels. I mean, they're going to make that connection so fast. He is, dude, unfortunately, he's going to be going away for a long time, it would seem. Doesn't look good for Joe.
No, it does not look good for Joe.
Again, an example of somebody who is not a hacker. New Zealand teen boasts of DDoSing attack against radio and TV station. Apparently, a TV station... Oh, look at this. Okay, this guy's name is DJ Fusion. And he basically DDoSed a TV station. Actually, here's what happened. Where is it? Anyways, I can't find it right now. Basically, he said the sysadmin of this board, I guess this TV station has a forum or some kind of message board. He said the sysadmin was being an ass. So he decided to DDoS them.
It's bullshit.
And then he brags about it, yeah.
Very, very mature.
Yeah, quite. How about moving on to another board? Yeah, I don't know, just me. So, two examples, prime examples of what a hacker is not. You know, I tell you what, your boards, Stank, are high, high quality. People there that go there are definitely there to learn, you know. There's posts and responses in the newbie HQ, you know. I've posted there. Everybody, you know, and it's like, hey, man, I want to learn. Help me out. And people do. It's great.
And I'm really happy about the fact that when I made it, I sat there and I thought, how am I going to design this? I'm going to allow people to post, but I don't want them flamed. And I put rules and I put, you know what? I haven't had the first flame of anybody in there.
No doubt.
It's very friendly. And it's not, you know, I appreciate that you say, but it's not me. It's the people.
Yes.
On that forum that are carrying it and that are helping out and that are participating. And, you know, the people that we have and the people in DDP, I'm so happy that they all understand community. They all understand what we are and what we aren't, like you just gave two examples of. And they work together and they work to help enhance not only ourselves, not only each other, but everyone in the community. You don't have to be DDP. Come on over. We'll help anybody.
Yeah.
We want everybody to listen to this show. We want everybody to read Outbreak. We want everybody to read Radical Future from Port 7 Alliance. They got
Frequency.
A new one coming out. Got to give them another shout out.
Read Frequency.
There is, yeah, Frequency, Hacker Mind. These are not, you know, there's room for all of this and more.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's infinite. Hey, Can I ask you guys a question? I think we may have talked about this a long time ago. Do you think, can we, you know, oh, this is going to sound idyllic, can we change the world? Can we affect change?
Well, we've affected a couple people, as you can see from emails.
Yeah.
That's a start.
You're right.
And ironically, emails like that, in turn, change me. You know, that gives me more dedication and more drive and more desire to want to do it that much more. The feeling that he described about sitting and reading the books and listening to the show and how he started typing and then just couldn't stop and kept going, you know, that's why I have like 5 bajillion posts, you know, out there. I start typing and it drags on. It's not because I want a friggin' symbol or logo by my name. It's because I love doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we love reading it. Yeah, you know what I could really relate to was spending way too much money on books. Oh, man.
Amen.
I love books. Okay. Before we go, I want to pimp the archives one last time. Oldschoolfreak.rootsecure.net. Thanks again.
Did you say you put the Sean Kennedy?
Everything, all things SKTFM are up now. So
I listened to Sean Kennedy. That guy, he must make fun of or piss off every... Or, like, everything. If you're a group, he's going to hit you.
Nobody rants like Sean.
No.
No doubt.
He's going to hit you with everything. Everything and anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does not hold it in, man. I enjoy it immensely.
That's why he's not just the man. He's the fuck man.
Man. That's right.
Exactly.
So you can get all his shit. You can get his TV shows. And you know what? He's straight up. He in his own way, he fights for what is right, our rights, our digital rights. So he's doing the job. So you can get his TV shows. I listen to... today is Wednesday, right? Yeah, last night was Tuesday, so they played Tales from the Afternoon, and I listened to that last night. That was great. I love those. And, of course, his regular show. So go to the Old School Freak archives at oldschoolfreak.rootsecure.net and pick some stuff up. All right, guys, go watch your show.
Yep,
and thanks a lot.
I'm grabbing a blank videotape right now.
Hey, you rock, dude. You rock.
All right, we'll see what we can do with this, see if we can get it up on the site ripped.
All right, guys. This show is awesome, by the way. Thanks a lot for your help, and we'll be back next week with another exciting edition of Radio Freak America. Later, Mute. Later, Stank.
Later.